Welcome to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast, where I interview some of the best coaches in the business to find their secrets and share them with the world. I'm Scott Rittheimer, founder and CEO of Scale Architects, and we help founders and leaders find the right coach at the right time so they can achieve the predictable success they deserve. And a huge part of that is helping great coaches do great work that creates enormous demand for their services with way less effort. If you're a high demand coach, I'd absolutely love to share your story and expertise as well. So stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Welcome once again to the Secrets of the High Demand Coach podcast. And I am here with yet another high demand coach and advisor. That is the one, the only Neil DiPentino. Now, he serves as the president of Titan Media Works Incorporated and hosts the Business Breakthroughs podcast, which is fantastic. I had a chance to check out a couple of episodes and I highly recommend it. Now, with over four decades of experience in high level sales and marketing across various channels, Neil has collaborated with multiple clients from small businesses all the way up to Fortune 500. Companies. And his expertise is helping businesses to optimize their marketing and their advertising investments for maximum ROI. Now, he believes that many companies face challenges or setbacks simply because they fail to recognize that these tools or they lack the knowledge to leverage readily available resources. And that's what we're going to talk about here today in just a moment. But before that, I'd love to hear, first off, Neil, welcome to the show. I'd love to hear a little bit of what's the story behind this? How did you get into becoming president of Titan Media Works? And what ultimately led you to make that leap?
Well, you know, thank you, for having me on your show. I appreciate it, Scott. I got to tell you, it was kind of all by accident. I had no intention on being in this business whatsoever. I was in radio. That was kind of the career path that I wanted to take. I actually, what happened was I was looking at a job in Galveston, New Mexico, and I drove down there in a snowstorm to interview for the job. They didn't even know I was coming. I said, I want this job badly enough. I'm going to go down. I'm going to do whatever I can to get the job. And so that's what I did. And so while I was there, they said, look, we'd like to offer you the jobs doing the morning show with us. But in small market radio, everybody does something else. I mean, we all have multiple jobs. You won't just do one thing. And I said, sure, I'm glad to do anything else you want me to do. What do you want? And they said, sales. Will you do sales? I said, sure, I could sell. I had never sold anything in my entire life. I had no idea, you know, how to sell anything. I mean, but I figured, you know, how hard could it be, right? You know, and sometimes ignorance is bliss. And for me, it was. Eventually, I became sales manager of the radio station and transitioned out of radio for a long, long time and got into sales and had, you know, I've made a really great career in sales and marketing. Marketing has always been really a big part of what I've done, and because I never felt like I was really a great salesperson. So I use my marketing skills to be able to close sales and help people, you know, find solutions for what they, for whatever they had in their businesses and everything. And that's kind of how the whole thing kind of got started. I have my own business called DPA Media. We've been doing that, the marketing for clients for years and years and years. And then recently I partnered with Cash Miller, who owned Titan Digital here in Tennessee, to do podcasting. So we're using podcasting really as a lead generation tool for that business. Eventually we realized we had a great opportunity with podcasting to provide production services and booking and other services for other people who wanted to be in this space. So we eventually sold the marketing property and now this is pretty much what we do.
Wow.
That's kind of the story, the history.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Well, conclusion anyway.
Yeah, what I love about kind of your take and what I've seen as I was researching for the episode is that kind of sales first mentality for marketing. I think marketing for marketing's sake is a pet peeve of mine. It drives me bonkers, right? We had a lot of likes. Did you sell something? But everyone liked it. So I want to kind of dive into that mentality, that mindset that you bring to marketing, particularly as a tool to drive sales and get that ROI. So First question that I have kind of out of the gate here is, how should business leaders think differently about marketing and advertising just out of the gate?
Well, I think a lot of that depends on the type of business that, you know, we're talking about. I deal with, you know, small business people where everybody, you know, people from the service industries, restaurant, you know, food service, that type of thing. And in my experience, you know, a lot of people come at you and say, well, you know, you got to build that brand, which is a true story. You do need to build a brand. But a lot of people try to build a brand without getting an ROI. Okay. And what I mean by that is, you know, they'll choose advertising resources like maybe, and I'm not knocking magazines. I worked in that industry as well, but magazines, you know, basically provide you in general with a great branding opportunity. But there's no ROI attached, and there's no way to track that type of thing. So what I like to do is I like to look at advertising resources outside and inside the business that will actually bring an ROI while branding, you know, simultaneously. So that's kind of my approach at that.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned outside and inside. So what are some of the top opportunities that you usually see as advertising inside of a business?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with personnel. I mean, look, they, you know, the best customer is a repeat customer. Now that's sales 101, right? And so what are the things that we're doing to keep those people coming back? Now, I can spend, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars on advertising to draw people in from the outside, you know, to fill that pipeline, if you will. But then what kind of tactics am I doing to make sure that once those people are in, that I get them back again and again and again and again? We're not looking at just that one-time customer. We're looking at the lifetime of a customer who comes back and becomes a loyal customer who not only, you know, comes back themselves, or, and say, look, at a restaurant, eats there, you know, several times a week, several times a month. We want to increase that as much as we possibly can. So if they're coming in one time a month, we want to come twice a month, every other week, or we want to come in every week, that thing. But also we want them to become brand advocates for us. We want them to going out sharing their experiences with others, because that's where word of mouth kind of comes in the play. We want them to go out and we want them to promote our business on social. We want them to talk about their business with our business with their friends, that type of thing. So we need to do everything we possibly can internally with our employees, with whatever resources are available to us, to make sure that that happens.
I once had an opportunity to hear Dan Cathy from Chick-fil-A, of Chick-fil-A fame, talk about some of their marketing strategy. And he said, you know, the cows have won award after award after award in the marketing space, but they pale in comparison to the moms who are posting on Instagram. And just that raw ability to make, like you mentioned, brand advocates that are out there doing the work for you, such a powerful tool. And again, leading off with that, I love that idea of looking at advertising not as just how you attract new customers, but how you keep the customers that you have and continue to work with and sell into that space. One of the questions that I bump into with clients of mine is they're kind of looking at, they've got a challenge, they're facing a problem, and marketing is one of the potential solutions, right? Maybe we just need to go out, we're not growing as fast as we want, maybe we need to spend some money on marketing. You even mentioned it in some of your stuff on the bio. What are some of the challenges that businesses face, especially in that kind of small to medium size range, that are actually rooted in their issues with their marketing or advertising?
First of all, I think, you know, money, obviously. I mean, it's expensive to advertise, you know, externally. You know, and then the just basic understanding of how to do it and what works and what doesn't. I think that it's real easy for a business owner to get, you know, kind of, you know, when a salesperson comes in with their pitch, they're talking about their product being the best product on the planet. I mean, that's their job. That's what they're supposed to do and everything. They're not coming in as an advisor. They're coming in and sell their product and everything. So it's hard for a business owner who has limited amount of time, limited amount of resources in the beginning to start with, to kind of, you know, filter out the BS, if you will, and make that kind of decision. And it's not even just, you know, making a bad buying decision. Sometimes maybe the decision that is being put in front of you is a great decision, but you blow it off because you've heard so many people, so much stuff coming your way. So I think that's probably one of the biggest challenges. And then the other part of it is, we mentioned, is trying to figure out ways to get that customer to come back in through loyalty programs, through, I mean, just employee interaction. I put together a study for one of my clients where I proved to them that we can increase their business internally without spending a single dime by just the way that that employee communicated with the customer when they walked in the door. And I mean, and it was like, and once they established this pattern of this type of communication between the customer and the person at the counter, they saw their business climb through the roof. And it didn't cost them a single dime because they were already paying these people to do it. All I had to do is just teach them how to actually communicate and how to get those people back in. And it kind of steer them into a direction that made sense for not only the customer, but give them something that you know, they really wanted, but also something that was profitable for that business.
Yeah, that's so powerful. So you're right. I think one of the big challenges that I see folks face is that they're out there, they know that they're not a marketer. They don't know, like, they can spell Instagram, you know, but not LinkedIn. You know, is there space? Is there not? You know, I'm joking, but they don't know. And so a lot of times that leaves them feeling inequipped to even find the right provider. And many times, you know, we can mistakenly equate someone's savviness in their pitch to us as their ability to create a savvy pitch with and for us. So how do you go about finding the right provider and not falling prey to the BS, or not filtering things out when they actually aren't BS?
You know, it's really hard, I think, as it really depends on, again, on the business and what your position is within the business. I mean, if you're a small business and you're doing, you know, $1 million or under, and you have a limited staff and you're doing it all on your own, I mean, it's really, really difficult. So in my situation, that's where I come in, where people have hired me to actually be that person who vets media, who, you know, comes up with ideas and not only comes up with them, executes, you know, ideas as well. I mean, everybody has an idea, right? But you've got to have something that's really executable in order for it to really pan out. So I always recommend, if you can, you know, take a look at the people who you're working with locally, who are available to you locally. I mean, work with your chamber of commerce. There's a lot of different things that you can do to, you know, to find the right resources for your business in terms of advertising and marketing. And beware of those people who make these grandiose claims that they're going to make you rich in 15 minutes while you're taking a shower. It's not going to ever happen. There is no such thing for most of us as a 4-hour work week. You know, so it does take some time, it takes effort, and you really need to study the market and understand, you know, what's going to work for you.
Yeah. On that note, how do you know if your marketing is working, right? Especially someone who's maybe new to this space, they've picked a provider, they're paying money. When should you start seeing results, and how should you measure that?
Well, I think it really depends on what you're doing. I mean, consistency is super important, and it's really hard to say, okay, I want to run this advertisement. I'm going to do it, run an ad, you know, maybe in local radio, or we're going to run an ad maybe in a coupon magazine and everything, and we're going to you know, run it for a month and then, you know, see what happens, and we'll decide then if we're going to do it again. I think you have to actually give it a little bit of time and effort, a few months at the minimum. You know, that consistency over time, you'll start seeing return from that investment. I think you have to set the bar where you need the bar to be set. I generally like to have, you know, a 2-3 time return on investment when I'm buying advertising for my clients. That's a pretty high bar to hit, but it all kind of depends on what we're offering too. So we have to take, I mean, there's just so many different things. There's not just one thing that really, you know, will help you to determine whether or not it's working for you. But I think at the end of the day, it's what kind of revenue is coming in. How, you know, maybe the other goal is you want higher revenue, which everybody should take a look at that. Maybe you want more seats and butts if you have a restaurant, more people walking through the door, more transactions, a higher register ring. I mean, so you really have to understand before you actually go on and do it, you know, any kind of advertising or marketing, what your goal is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fantastic. And, you know, podcasts have, in particular, because I know you spend a lot of time and space here, a lot of folks don't necessarily think of podcasts as, like you mentioned earlier, lead generation tools. So, How should folks, they're thinking about starting a podcast, should they? And if so, why should they start it? What should they do to make that a success?
I think I truly believe this. I think podcasting offers one of the best lead generation opportunities that's out there right now. Part of the reason why is, you know, you have people who do write blogs. Well, people don't read anymore. None of us read. We want to be told things. So plus, what it does is it makes that connection, like what we're doing right now. You can see me, I can see you. We have a little conversation before, a little conversation after. Doing a podcast is really, to try to get lots of people to, listen. So you want hundreds of, thousands, you want tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of listeners to come in and listen to your podcast. And that's how it's going to be effective for you. But it's not. When you have a podcast, especially when you carve a niche in that market, you just need the right people to be on your show or listen to your show or be on your show. A lot of times for us, my company, Titan Media Works, we are maybe more interested in the guests than we are the people who are listening, because that guest becomes a potential lead for us, as well. It gives us the opportunity to kind of do an audition for the services that we provide. And we can kind of show them how it works and how it's going to work for them. And so then it becomes a lead generation tool in that manner too. But again, I think it's the best lead generation tool that's out there right now.
Yeah, fantastic. So there's a question I like to ask all my guests, and it is this: what is the biggest secret you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing that you wish every leader, a founder, entrepreneur out there listening today knew?
I don't know if it's necessarily a secret or not, but I think a lot of us think that we're on an island by ourselves, and there's a lot of help out there for us. Business coaches, Business Breakthroughs, my podcast is about working with business coaches and consultants. And what I found, it was interesting that a lot of the coaches that I talk to are helping other people actually have coaches themselves. And they're getting guidance and mentorship from people who, have been in business and have been through different situations. They don't know everything. We don't know everything. So it's always great for us to have somebody that could potentially help us. I don't know if that's a big secret or not, but a lot of business owners maybe don't even think about it because they're so busy, so focused on the day-to-day task that, this is an old, I hear it way too often probably, but they're working on their business or in their business, not on their business. So that's what I would say.
That's so true. I've told many a client, alone takes a long time. Sure, you can do it alone, right? Do you want to? Why wouldn't you want to? There's so many folks out there that you can access. So some folks listening to this and it's like, finally someone I can trust, right? Maybe they've been bitten by marketing stuff in the past, or they're just afraid of getting started on it. And they finally found someone here that who gives it to them straight, who can help them navigate that space. Or maybe even they're thinking about starting their own podcast. How can they find out more about you and your organization?
Well, we are very involved in LinkedIn, so you can get in contact with us, either myself or any of my partners on LinkedIn. We have the Titan Media Works website, which is titanmediaworks.com. Works is spelled WORX. Or you can reach out to me directly through an email, Neal, NEAL, at titanmediaworks, spelled WORX, .com. And we're glad to talk to you and tell you a little bit more about what we do and how we might be able to help you.
That's fantastic. Well, Neal, thanks so much for being on the show. It's just an honor and privilege having you here. I really appreciate your time today and the wisdom and advice that you shared. And for those of you listening, you know that your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did, and I can't wait to see you next time. Take care. Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast. If you are a successful coach, consultant, or advisor who's built a strong book of business and would like to be on the program, please visit go.scalearchitects.com. And if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media and just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials? If you know someone who'd be a great guest, you can tag them on social media to let them know about the show. And make sure you include the hashtag #HighDemandCoaching. I love seeing your posts. I love seeing your guest suggestions. Thank you so much. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any of those episodes, go ahead and subscribe now. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, they go a long way to help us promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, you can go to our website, www.scalearchitects.com, or you can follow me or the company on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.